It's more than just another radio show. It's a beacon of truth. Fasten your seatbelt and find out why they call Deacon Harold Burke Sivers the Dynamic Deacon. Join Deacon Harold for a fast-paced hour that sheds encouraging light on today's culture. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, you're listening to Beacon of Truth, and I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and I'm so glad to be with you today. Why? Because this is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. I have to tell you, I've been so much enjoying doing Beacon of Truth. You know, At first I thought, you know, okay, this is going to be a little intimidating with my intensely heavy travel schedule and my writing projects. You know, I mean, in addition to writing books, I also write for several publications, you know, and with my responsibilities in the parish and my family and everything else, I thought, but you know what? I've so enjoyed doing the show here and being part of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and part of EWTN family since 2005. You know, I'm just so thrilled to be able to bring this show, which is, again, talking about the truth and the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Because truth ultimately, the Lord says in John 14:6, the truth is a person. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. You know, so that's a truth that roots us. That's a truth that helps us to discover the richness and beauty of what God has given each and every one of us to use the gifts we've been given in order to honor and glorify God, to help our brothers and sisters as they discover, you know, what God is how God is working in their lives. This is a message I try to get across to school kids. You know, I tell them that there are other people in your life that help you discover what God has called you to do. I tell these young kids there's a reason and a purpose why you exist right now. There's a reason why you were born at the time that you were born. There's a reason why you're attending this school. There's a reason you have the teachers that you have right now. Because God has a plan that's for you and for only you since before the creation of the world. You know, and so what we have to do is make sure that we're aligning ourselves with people in our lives that will help us to discover what that beauty is. And I always use the example of Samuel in the temple with the priest Eli when the Lord called him. And the Lord said, Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. And Eli said, well, I didn't call you, go back to sleep. Three times. And the third time, Eli recognizes, wait a minute, it's the Lord calling the boy. He says, next time you hear that voice, say this. You know, and what does he say? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So we have to have people in our lives that help us to listen to God's voice, to recognize God's voice in our lives, and help us to respond with open hearts to what God wants to do in our life. I think that's so important, a message for young people to hear today. And along with that, how much God truly loves them. How much God truly loves them. That he would have died on the cross if they were the only person that has ever been created. He would have died for them. You know, they need to know that. Today, boy, I tell you. Today, I'm especially happy because I have one of my favorite people in the entire world. One of my dearest friends. One of my business colleagues. A man that I've known for, gosh, 2012. In fact, I met Charbel the year I left my job, the year I took that leap of faith. And I left my law enforcement career behind. I started speaking and writing full time. That same year, I met Charbel for the first time. I'm so thrilled to have Charbel Raish, the president, or what they call over there, director, one of the directors of Parousia. An amazing Catholic apostolate with a worldwide footprint. So it's not just in Australia. They're in well over 100 countries and doing just amazing work for the Lord. So I'm so thrilled to have Charbel here with us. When we talk to him, he's going to tell us a little bit about his story. He's going to tell us about his work with Parousia. But the main thing we're talking about today in the last segment of the show is parenting. because Charbel has a huge family. And what's so beautiful for me, going to Australia as many times as I've been there, as of this recording, I've been there 8 times, to see his kids growing up. I remember when Michael was, 10? Or when I first met him, 9 or 10, his oldest son, and now Michael's like college, and I'm like, what? It's one thing seeing your own kids grow up, but every time I go back, and his kids just keep growing and maturing, and just to see, you know, the challenges that he and his beautiful wife Christine now have with teenagers and all that, you know. So it's just beautiful. So Charbel's gonna walk us through his family, just give us some tips on parenting. So thrilled that he's with us today. And also with us today, we have our usual show team, Matt Gabinski screening calls, and Charles Berry doing social media, and Ace McKay, our producer in the place. How you doing, Ace?
I'm doing good. I love that we're tackling parenting, because I don't feel like we can tackle it enough. Like, just when you feel like you get it figured out, you're like, you know, because I have adult children and I still have teenagers, and none of the four of them are alike. So the things that I learned the first time, kibosh, I had to completely do it all over again. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know. So anytime we can visit this topic, I will welcome more help.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think every single parent out there, and the thing is, what we're not going to do is tell people how to be parents.
Right.
I mean, you can't do that. But everybody's looking for some helpful hints, some tips, especially how you keep your kids close to the Lord. Mm. You know, it's one thing when they're home and you're creating an environment in the home that's prayerful, where God is always kind of the heart and the center of what you're doing as a family. But then how does that transfer when they leave the house?
Yeah.
And they go out into the world, you know, that. So that's what I really want to talk about today, because I think that people are going to get a lot out of that. So I'm absolutely thrilled to be doing that. So,
yeah, I always remind my kids are like, why do I have to do this? Go, because you can't live here forever. Like, at some point you are on your own. Well, what if I want to live here forever? You can't.
You can't. That's right.
It doesn't work.
It's so funny you say that, Ace, because now that my kids are adults as well. You know, now they're coming to me and say, oh, Daddy, now I understand why you did this, or why you and Mommy said this.
Yeah.
because they think you're crazy when they're younger. But now that they're adults, now they're in the real world, now they're paying bills, and now they've got all these things going on. Now they're like, oh, now it makes sense. You're not as crazy as I thought you were.
My adult daughters are in their young 20s, and they have both come to me on separate occasions and go, you didn't tell me adulting stunk. I prepared you with skills so that you would be prepared for when it stunk. But what's funny, too, is I find myself doing things that I observed what my dad did. Like, he wasn't necessarily teaching me something, but I was learning something in the moment, because then when that moment has come up, I'll go, well, how would my dad have done this? Oh, yeah, I saw him do this, you know, or this is how he prayed, or this is how he, you know, fixed this, you know, honeydew thing off the list or whatever. But again, our kids are watching every little thing we do. And, you know, that's both frightening and maybe comforting at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a thing now where my son works all day. He's a chef, right? He works all day around food and kitchen. It's hot, and work with other people. And he comes home, he's tired. He's like, hey, how was it today? Oh, okay. And you can see, like, how do you do this every day? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
when does it stop?
And now they're starting to see, you enter to a rhythm and a cycle of life as an adult. Yeah. You know, there's prayer and there's work and there's family and there's your other extracurricular activities. And what do I do on my day off? Do I sleep in?
Right.
Do I catch up on sleep? Do I need to go shopping? You know, so he's looking at this whole different world now, watching them to function as adults. It's really been fun to watch, actually.
Well, and having teenagers at home, the one thing that I have to remind my wife, I was like, the one thing from my daughters to me and Ryan that does apply is that we cannot enable them. Like, we do have to let them fall sometimes. We do have to let them learn things just like we did, but they're learning to lean into the Lord. Hopefully, that's what they're learning. Because, again, I tell my kids all the time, if it robs your peace, It's too expensive. And so whenever they have a decision to make, I say, where's your peace? Because it's a reminder to me when I feel off balance that I'm also finding that peace in the Lord.
Yeah, exactly right. It's the peace of the Lord that's beyond all understanding.
Amen.
So it's a peace that we're hopefully passing on to our kids, a peace that the world can't give them. They won't find that in the world.
Right.
They can only find that peace, really, which the peace that their heart is longing for, their heart desires, in the peace and the beauty of a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, which is what I hope we're all fostering in the life of our children. When we come back, we're going to do a quick Psalm study, and we're going to bring in my good friend, Charbel Race, to talk about parenting. You want to be part of the program? Email us, beacon@ewtn.com.
Listen to that piano in there.
Yeah. Little Hammond organ action going on back there. See, I tell you, Beacon of Truth has the best bumper music in the business.
Amen.
And I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sirris. You're listening to Beacon of Truth on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. This show is here to bring the truth and the beauty of our Catholic faith to everyone. And we have our great show team in place, Matt Kabinski screening calls, Charles Beery doing social media, and our producer, Ace McKay. How you doing, Ace?
I am so good. And I'm so glad that people can watch us on YouTube because, you know, I like to think we have a little bit of a photogenic face. But any of your favorite EWTN radio programs, remember, they are available to you free. And you can, of course, subscribe. So that way, whenever we go live and there's new events happening, testimonials, homilies, all available for you, just search YouTube or on YouTube, search EWTN and everything will come up. Subscribe today.
When you hear that music, you know that it's time. It is time to reflect on the Psalms, one of my favorite segments of Beacon of Truth. And today we're looking at Psalm 130. Psalm 130 is in a group of Psalms called the Songs of Ascents or the Gradual Psalms, Psalms 120 to 134. And these are Psalms that were sung by worshipers as they ascended the road to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, also called the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Tabernacles, also called the Feast of Booths. And again, I'm using the Revised Grail Psalm translation that's approved by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops for use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And so Psalm 30 starts off in the prescript, a song of ascents. Okay, a song of ascents, or gradual song, or as sometimes they're called in church. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the sound of my pleadings. Right? So out of the depths, so out of the deepest parts of our heart, where we call on the name of the Lord in our time of struggle, in our time of trial, Lord, open your ears to hear my prayer. Right? Do not be deaf to the sound of my voice right now, Lord, because I need you. If you, O Lord, shall mark iniquities, or that means to mark our guilt, or focus on our guilt, Lord, who could stand? But with you is found forgiveness, that you may be revered. Ah, see how merciful and forgiving our Lord is. So the Lord doesn't look at our sin. You know, when we repent, when we seek forgiveness and his merciful love, and for us as Catholics in the sacrament of reconciliation, we receive his mercy, receive his love, receive his forgiveness, so that he may be revered. So now we can honor him more deeply with our lives. Why? Because sin is no longer in the way. And verse 5, I long for you, O Lord. My soul longs for his word. My soul hopes for the Lord more than watchmen for daybreak. You know, I remember this reminds me of working graveyard shift, you know, in law enforcement, you know, and you obviously you're working most of the time when it's dark outside in the middle of the night, you know, you're looking forward to daybreak when, you know, when it's almost time to go home and the day shift takes over. You know, and that same longing, that same yearning, knowing that the light, the dawn from on high, that dawn is gonna rise and bring a new day. You know, the Lord gives us the hope that, you know what, I may be going through this right now, but my hope is in the Lord. And that light of his truth and that light of his witness is going to shine in my life, even in my deepest darkness. It's not too dark for God, for his light to reach us, right, in the depths of our hearts. More than watchmen for daybreak, let Israel hope for the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, in him is plentiful redemption. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Yes, only in the Lord is our salvation, is our help, and is our peace. And this is something that parents often don't feel, especially if they have teenage kids, that peace that God is talking about. And to hear, to help us talk about parenting today is one of my closest and dearest friends, all the way from Sydney, Australia, Charbel Raish, who's the director, one of the founders of Parousia there in Australia. Charbel, my friend, how are you?
Doing really well, Deacon. Very well. It's great to be with you. I love hearing all about the background and the reminder of how long we've known each other. It's been 12 years. I cannot believe it.
Yeah, I know. Is that awesome? Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. You have 8 kids. I'm going to try 9.
Nine. That's okay. Right. Was born. She was okay. Born after you left. So when you came to Australia, we had 8. Christine was pregnant, and then you returned, and we had a baby.
That's
she
right.
Was born.
That's right. So let me see if I could do. Let me see. I'm gonna try to do this. I know I'm gonna miss somebody here. So okay, the first ones are easy because I've known them forever since I've known you. So Michael,
yes.
Gabriel, and Raphael. Those are easy because those are the archangels.
Yes.
And then Elizabeth. Who, yep. I can't believe how big she's getting the last time I saw her. I was like, she's a young lady now. She's not a little girl. Like I remember her. And then, of course, Joseph, right?
Yep.
Joseph, and then, these last few, I don't know them that well.
Yep.
Is that there right? Is Catherine? Catherine. Yep. And then the number that I know because it's Benedict, because obviously I was a Benedictine, so I know Benedict. And then the last one that was just born, I don't remember. Is that?
That's Alexander.
Okay, there it is. Alexander. What's that?
Now we have a Rachel as well.
Rachel, you're pregnant again?
Yeah, we have a Rachel. So there's 9 kids all up.
Wow. Yeah, beautiful. So Charbel, why don't we tell a little bit about who you are, because this is the first time you're on the show. A lot of people may be familiar with Parousia, even though they may not know that that it's you with the Advent pilgrimage you get. So just a little bit about your background first.
Yeah, sure. I'm born and raised in a Maronite Catholic family. My father is actually born and raised in Colombia, and he his father in Colombia, but his grandfather was from Lebanon that came to Colombia, so that makes me a Maronite. And so then my mum and dad got married in Lebanon, lived in Colombia for a while, had a couple of kids, and then they came to Sydney, Australia. That's where I was born. I'm one of 6 boys. We grew up praying the rosary in Arabic, Spanish, and English. So I had very good memories, you know, growing up. It wasn't until I got to my my high school years, I started to mix with lots and lots of Muslim kids. And I naturally fell away from my faith, unfortunately. I was not practicing. I was not going to Mass on Sundays and for a few years there. And I started being questioned about my faith from my Muslim friends. And that really challenged me from things like, you know, how could God be called Father? How could God have a son? How could God die on a cross? When Jesus says the Our Father, is God speaking to himself? That doesn't make any sense. So I'm a young teenager at this point, and I don't know how to respond, and I'm just agreeing with them. I said, yeah, it doesn't make sense. I can't explain the Trinity. I couldn't explain any evidence of the crucifixion, the resurrection. So it was like, wow, I don't know how to get back to these guys. And in the end, right through high school, I was challenged, and they tried to really get me to become a Muslim. And it wasn't until my final year I went to the mosque, gave my life to Allah and Muhammad, did the Shahada prayer, and I was invited to have a shower. Gave me a towel, a white gown, and it was in that shower I said a little prayer. The only prayer I knew was Our Father and Hail Mary. So I said those, and I ended up saying a decade of the rosary while I was having this shower. And by the end of that, I heard a whisper, not yet. And I believe that to be Our Lady. She saved me from going all the way. And I said, okay. I put my normal clothes back on, get out to the main area. They said, is everything okay? I said, look, I don't know my faith. Let me study it and let me get to know it before I leave. They said, fair enough. Pray for me because I don't know my faith. I want the truth. And I got home late that day from school. My mother was wondering where I was. I said, I was just at the mosque. You can imagine what she felt. She gave me a huge slap across the face and said, what? You go to Jesus. You go to Jesus now in the church and you ask him if he wants you to be a Muslim or a Christian. And I did. I walked to that church, St. Michael's Belfield in Sydney, Australia. And I remember seeing the box with the red light. And I remember when I was little, they said, when the red light's on, Jesus is present. So it's, okay, Jesus, if you are really there, show me. Do you want me to be a Muslim or a Christian? And I, about 30 minutes of silence. And you know what, Deacon, that's very significant because I never was silent for more than a minute in my life. And here I am. And it's interesting how you were talking about Samuel today because it was Samuel that heard God's voice in the silence. And here I am after 30 minutes of being silent. I actually do hear a voice. It's not through my ears, it's through my heart. And it's my baptismal name, Shabel. Are you going to give all that I've done for you? And as I hear that voice, I see the Shroud of Turin on the door of the tabernacle. I've never seen that image before. I look away, look back, and it was still there. And I said, I knew that to be Jesus. I said, no, Lord, I'm not going to give you up. And so this huge weight came off my shoulder. I'm a Catholic. I'm going to remain a Catholic, but now I need to know why. And I left that church on cloud nine and very excited. I got my sign and I started to study. I started to discover what. So that's where I came across people like Dr. Robert Haddad very early on in my journey. I came across a Benedictine monk, Father Chris Alexander, and he introduced me to EWTN. So I started to watch Mother Angelica and started to watch Scott Hahn and his famous Lamb Supper series all on EWTN. He gave me cassette tapes about from Scott Hahn, and I started to learn what the Trinity, how to explain the Trinity, what, you know, the Eucharist, the church teaching on all these things. And I fell in love with the faith more and more. So that's now 25 years. I cannot believe it. 25 years ago, this has happened. And I have every day that goes on, every year that goes on, I fall more in love with God and I love our Catholic faith. And I actually do share it publicly, and my Muslim friends know about it. And many of them who I've had discussions with would listen to what I have to say about the church and about Islam. And they'll say things like, everything you said makes sense. And they'll respond to me, I don't know my faith. I need to. And so the very thing I said to them, they say to me now. And it's just asking simple questions. I'm not there just to, you know, force them or convert them against their will. I do want to at least present the arguments. Why do we believe in a loving God, a Trinity, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How do we know who died on the cross? How do we know there was a resurrection? And bit by bit, it's a beautiful conversation you can have. And the more evidence you start to see in our faith, the more you just grow to love it. And so I'm just on fire now for the Lord. And I'm certain of this. The world is desperate for truth, and the fullness of that truth can be found in the Catholic Church.
Yeah. I like that. A little slide action in there.
That's right.
On the guitar. Nice bass line there too.
I'm trying to get you inspired so you can, you know, get back into playing more routinely.
See? See, one of these days I'm gonna have to have my guitar on the show.
That'd be fantastic.
And maybe just play a little something something here.
I'm down always.
You're listening to the Beacon of Truth on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and that voice you heard was our producer, the one and only Ace McKay, Ace in the place.
Thank you, sir. Of course, we want to remind you that Johnette Williams ready to really give you inspiration Monday through Friday with Women of Grace. If you get a chance to check it out, of course, that's going to be going on each and every weekday, plus Saturdays. We have the encore, so make sure you check that out, 11 Eastern on EWTN Radio, and you can also check it out on demand. Just search Women of Grace.
Awesome. Well, today we're talking about parenting. We have a very, very special guest, one of my closest and dearest friends of the whole world, who's making such a massive impact on the church around, literally around the world. The one and only Charbel Raish, who's the director, one of the directors and president of Parousia in Australia. And I just want to tell you how we first met. So you all know the story, how I left my career and a lot of amazing things happened that year. I got a call from Matt Pinto about being on the Chosen program from Ascension Press. I got a call from Mark Brumley to write my first book, Behold the Man. I got a call from Father Leo Padalinghung. That's the first time I met him, and I cooked with him on his show, and now we're good friends now. And so a lot of amazing things started happening. Now, I received a call to go to Perth, Australia. It was for a gentleman there who worked for the school district, the Catholic school district, and asked me to come and do some like a teacher symposium, on a teacher's retreat. So I was invited. I was so excited. Never been to Australia before, and go all the way to Perth, you know, the most isolated capital city in the world. And then I get this call from Charbel Raish. I'm like, well, who's this guy? He goes, well, Deacon, since you're coming all the way over here, can you stay like another 10 days or 2 weeks and do some stuff for us on the East Coast, like in Sydney, Brisbane, and Melbourne? And I was like, yeah, that's what I do now. So I said, of course. And so after Perth, I went and spent some time with Charbel and didn't know him. He was still working part-time as a teacher at Redfield College. Well, it's colleges that, like high school. So their colleges they call high school. So he was teaching at Redfield, and he had Parousia in his home. And I don't know how Christine put up with that, but he did. So I remember the first time I went to his house, he had in his living room, he had the shelves with all the stock on the shelves, books and CDs and DVDs, and he had a computer set up on the desk, and that was Parousia. It was a part-time endeavor then. And so I'm looking around like, okay, this guy's trying to do something. But it wasn't until he shared his vision with me about what he thought Parousia could be. And my heart was literally like jumping out of my chest. I'm like, this guy gets it. You know, I had so many silos put up in the United States when I tried to work in the way that Charbel was thinking, you know, and I kept getting walls and silos. And finally, here's a guy that gets it. And so I think it was that same night or a couple of days later before I left, I struck a deal with Charbel to distribute my products around the world. And that's the arrangement we've had to this very day. In fact, I don't take any royalties from any of the products that Parousia sells of mine. Because I told them very early on to take that money and reinvest it back into Parousia. And so now, Charbel, pick it up. Now, what's happening to Parousia? That was 12 years ago. What's happening with Parousia now?
Praise God. Yeah, thank you, Deacon. Well, it's interesting. Yeah, working part-time for so many years and just growing slowly over the time. And then after, you know, hitting it off with you, and we got you back very soon after that. And that led to a really strong relationship. you know, you've been to Australia 8 times now, and we've been around the world at least, another 10 trips on top of that. I mean, so it's been amazing where we travel together. So I think... it was so interesting. Since then, Parousia has reached, probably, I was going to say tenfold, but it's probably more than that now. I don't know, it could be 12-fold now or 15-fold of where we were back in 2012. And praise be to God, we're not just reaching people in Australia. We're reaching people in so many countries. So an interesting thing happened before the pandemic. Kevin Bailey, I have to say a shout out to him, because he came into a very crucial point a couple of years after I met you, Deacon. Kevin Bailey came at a point when my wife and I were really considering, with baby five on the way, is God calling us to really lean into Parousia and really take it to the next level? Or should I go full-time teaching? Because I was part-time teaching. And I one of the signs I asked the Lord was, if Scott Hahn agrees to come to Australia, I'll take that as a sign you want me to continue. And the very next day, I get a phone call by a gentleman named Kevin Bailey from Melbourne. And he says, are you Charbel? I said, yep. He said, Scott Hahn told me to call you. And I thought he was joking. Now on it, did he know my condition, my prayer with God the day before? And he just came back from a pilgrimage with Scott Hahn, invited him to come to Australia. Scott Hahn said, you've got to connect with Charbel. And that's what happened. So then Kevin and I joined forces in 2014. And then we went to America, and he started to discover how big the Catholic apostolate movement was in the States. And really in Australia, there's not many independent apostolates. There's a few, but not many. And so his imagination was really caught. And he said, we could do a lot more together. So we joined forces. We got you back in 2015. We did our first international trip with Singapore and Philippines and Malaysia. And we started to expand, to just multiple countries. We've been to Indonesia. And so very quickly from 2015 to 2019, it was really rapidly expanding to the Asia Pacific region. And that's what we did. And we grew from one staff member, and we did these fundraiser dinners. And every year we were growing by one staff member. So fundraising. So it wasn't just me. I had a full-time worker with Mark Griffin, who's been with us since 2015. And then, 2016, we had Mary and Karen come on board, and we had 2017. It just kept growing. So by the time we got to 2019, we had 10 staff. And what was interesting was 10 people. It was tenfold. It grew tenfold by then. Then we were ready. We had plans to come to America, launch my book. We were going to do an Australian invasion tour. But then COVID hit in 2020, and we had to really pivot and do something different. We did this online pilgrimage called the Rosary Pilgrimage. We had over 40,000 people sign up praying from Our Lady's birthday to the Feast of the Rosary. And that really, our finances literally halved. We lost half our revenue. And then our staff reduced to five. And this was in 2020, 2021. So we lost a lot of revenue, but we gained a lot of followers internationally, and very strong in America as well. And so in 2021, 2022, our name was getting out there to over 100 countries. So online, we've reached 116 countries officially. And thanks be to God, it's been wonderful. And we've now... we've only got just one more staff member, six staff members. So it's in 2023, we realized we're now back to where we were financially, as far as what the reach was, the online store, e-commerce, and the sponsors and donors. But we feel that we're at a point where we need to do something for the next level. And 2023, we did our first USA trip with you, Deacon, and Kevin Bailey spoke, myself, and Robert Haddad. And I can't wait to do it again. We got overwhelming feedback, and we're now getting invitations to go to different areas in Africa, in India, Sri Lanka. I just got an invitation to go to Brazil. So things are happening where I don't know. We just throw the seed, and our Lord decides where they land, and you never know who you're going to impact. And I think now, after all these years, it's been 19 years. I cannot believe it. 19 years this year, the amount of priests who have said the impact Parousia has had on them, and the amount of nuns and religious, and then the amount of married couples who said, how much it's nourished them. I'm just amazed. That's the point. And I want to continue in the spirit of Mother Angelica, who wants to reach as many souls as possible. And she's really been an inspiration to me. And I pray to her every so often for inspiration. So I love now we have an official partnership with EWTN as well, and that's been very exciting. And I did hear the promo for Jeanette Williams. So she, Brankovich Williams, she's just partnered with us as well. So we're going to promote Women of Grace in Australia and get those programs. So she's doing wonderful work. And I love the work EWTN is doing. And I feel that there's a synergy and there's God's put this together for a reason. And praise be to God, we're going to keep going. I invite people to visit our website if they don't know us, parousiamedia.com. It's a Greek word for the second coming of Christ, but literally the presence of Christ. And so it's the future presence of Christ. And we get that in the real presence of our Lord in the tabernacle where I had my first encounter. So praise God, He's blessing this every day.
Awesome. Awesome. Again, that's parousiamedia.com, everybody. So, Charbel, we talked this in last time. We have 9 beautiful children, and I've been so honored to know Christine. In my mind, she's a saint. I mean, that woman is just incredibly supportive of everything that you're doing and how many times she has to be with the kids while you're out doing things for Parousia. So tell us, share us some of your best parenting tips. We have all kinds of folks that listen to the program. We have homeschooling moms that are trying their best to raise their kids. We got maybe some single parents out there. We've got parents with teenagers. You have kids all over the spectrum from infants all the way up to young men now, beyond teenagers, young adults. So what are some of the things? So maybe some of the tips, some of the ideas you'd like to share with our listeners now about parenting.
Yeah, awesome. I think the very first one is our children are not born perfect. They're not born mature. They're not born as adults. They're not born with a manual. They're not born with infused knowledge. And so once we realize that, we've got to learn to be a little bit patient, especially in those early years when they're a blank canvas and they're waiting for mom and dad to guide them. So, especially in that first 2 years, they're a baby and they cannot survive without you. You literally have to feed them. You literally have to change their diapers, the nappies, as we call them in Australia. you've got to nurture them. And then it gets to the point as they discover the world, they're learning for the first time through you, your example. And they're a sponge taking things in. When you realize that, it really puts you as a parent in check. You know, what am I influencing my child? What are they seeing in me? And sometimes, we can take for granted that we learn more from visual, from our actions, than it is from actual through oral or through our ears. We actually see, when they see that mom and dad, they are taking a lot in. So that helps a lot to understand. And remember, it's our job as parents to pass on knowledge, prepare them for life, prepare these young souls to be saints one day. And so when you think of that responsibility, it really makes you look at yourself as a parent and say, what am I doing with my prayer life? What am I doing with my work, my life balance, my family? How am I loving my spouse? And they're seeing all of this. And so I think the very first tip there is be the best you can be, the best saint you can be. So try, make sure you're living the example. You're walking the walk, not just talking the talk. And our children are very quick to pick up when we're being hypocrites. You know, we might say to them, do this, do this, do this. And then they're very quickly wanting to know, all right, what are you doing, mom and dad? and then if you say, okay, I want you to give up this for Lent, or I want you to not watch these shows anymore, or I want you to stop listening to this music, or there's all these requests we say, but if we're not willing to, I guess, live by our own standard, they're going to quickly judge us. So I guess it's making sure we're living the example, and so working on yourself, working with your spouse, and then working with your children. I absolutely have to say the one-on-one catch-up times. I learned this through actually the school I went to at Redfield. They had the mentor program, and I saw that was a brilliant idea. We should be actually catching up with our kids not just collectively, but one-on-one, and looking for opportunities to do that. I think that's been a real help for us. And I would have these little dates with my kids. So I remember taking my daughter as a 6 or 7 year old for our first daddy daughter date. And we went to a restaurant and she loved it. And she remembers that till today. We got photos and all that, but then there'll be like a quick, a milkshake, time, 30 minutes. We get to catch up. Sometimes we just go down the road, go for a walk, or just, even if it's so busy, it's on bin night, we call it rubbish bin night, where you go out and just taking it outside, talking to one of your sons and having time outside alone. So taking these opportunities to talk, because I've realized now as teenagers, they want to talk, but they don't want to be, talked at all the time. They want to be able to share. And you've got to give them an opportunity to do that. If they are always being told, don't do this, always do this, and you're basically in their ear all the time, and I know I'm doing that a lot, you've got to realize, hang on, they want to be listened to as well. They want to know, they want to express themselves, and they want to share what they're going through. We've got to create that opportunity. And if we don't, there's a missed opportunity there for parents. You want your children to come to you for advice, not to their friends or the TV or the internet. They need to come to mum and dad. And so you got to create that environment and nurture that. And last thing I'd say is, discipline of the way of life. We go to mass as often as we can, through the week as a family. And we also have night prayers together. We have a daily rosary. We stop for the Angelus, stop for the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So we have these pegs throughout the day for prayer life, a good prayer life. They see mum and dad pray, and I think that's powerful. I bless them at night. And now as they're growing up, they know they've got the habit of, turning to prayer when they need to. So I think leading by example there as well, that's a powerful part.
Yeah, and I know that's true because I prayed with you guys when you got in your house when you're doing those prayers. And so Sharbat, I loved everything that you said. I mean, everything you said is absolutely spot on. So just for clarification, the people out there listening, when you talk about the bins, he's talking about taking the garbage out. Garbage night is what he's talking about, as we call it here in the States. But you may have missed that. So I want to talk about your relationship with Christine, because for me, and you're absolutely right, the kids need to see, because they can spot a fake a mile away, someone who just says all this stuff but doesn't actually practice and live it out for themselves. Mm-hmm. But I think the foundation of a strong family, especially with the family that are trying to impart the values into the hearts of the children that you were talking about, the foundation of that is built on a very strong marriage. So how do you maintain a strong relationship with Christine, especially as busy as you are with Prusia now? Prusia is growing, continuing to grow around the world. And, I mean, you just don't just leave the kids with her. I mean, how does that work between the two of you?
Yeah, great question. It's interesting. I don't have a typical 9-to-5 job anymore. It's not one of those. So if I'm out of an evening, for example, and I'm out, a few days a week sometimes, when I'm giving Bible studies or going to parishes, I make sure I'm there in the morning, or I have lunch or get back early from the office, and then I spend the afternoon with the family. So if I'm not with the family over dinner, sometimes that happens, I make sure then I'm making up for that time somewhere else in the day. So that's, I guess, the first part. The children see me love mum. So I'm very affectionate with her. So I'm hugging her, and I'll show that I'm in love with her, hold her hand. They'll see that. They'll see that mum, dad loves mum. I call her constantly by, my love, honey, my life, my sweetie, all these things, they see all that. And I make sure then we have our private coffee time. It hasn't been private lately because the kids now jump in, but we have a daily coffee date, and that's like 10 or 15 minutes. It's either in the morning or in the evening, in the late afternoon. So either before or after work, I'm making sure that we're having a coffee together. It's almost every day I'm home. Some days we've missed, but for the most part, it's mostly on. There's a daily coffee. Sometimes it's twice a day. Depends how organized we are. But the children are now old enough to make the coffee. They love to do that. They'd love to see mum and dad sit down together, and we're talking and catching up together. And that really, I can't stress how important it is to have even 10 or 15 minutes together as a couple in front of the kids. Let them see you having time. And we insist, children, go play. This is mummy and daddy time. And that's when we talk. I also have I'm very spontaneous with date nights. So we don't have a rigid sort of Friday night's date night. It's whenever the opportunity comes. So it could be a Monday night, and I say, hey, what do you reckon? let's go out for dinner tonight. She is very spontaneous, and she'll be like, oh, hold on. Okay, let's see. We've got to work this out. Okay. And we'll go movies. I'd go watching movies, or if it's too late, then sometimes we can have a quick drink, a hot chocolate or something. When the kitchen closes at restaurants, sometimes I go like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and we just duck out just for half hour or an hour. It's like changing the scene. She knows I love her. I want to spend time with her. She's the love of my life. And if I can't express that love to my the love of my life, how am I going to express that love to even someone I love even greater, God, or someone who I love as well, my children? So she helps me think more outside of myself, be selfless and start to think of others. And because I'm drawn to her till today, I love her more today than I did when I first married her. It's been 18 years. It's coming up to 18 years, our anniversary. She is so giving. She's herself. She's always smiling around me. She's always a positive, and she just wants to do God's will. And that's the thing. She's the most selfless person I know. She's always thinking about other people. She's always putting others first, and that models for me what I need to strive to be like. And I know I can be selfish sometimes. I put myself first, and I'm actually learning from my wife. Well, I need to put her first and others first. So, yeah.
Amen. Well, you're listening to Beacon of Truth on EWTN. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and we're talking with Charbel Raish, the president and one of the directors of Parousia in Australia, one of the great Catholic media apostles around the world, and an official EWTN affiliate as well. We're talking about parenting. Charbel has 9 beautiful children. He's been married almost 18 years to his beautiful wife, Christine. And we're talking about, so we talked a little bit about the kind of witness and example you need to be for your children throughout their ages. And you have kids, again, from infants all the way up to young adults now. He talked about your beautiful relationship with Christine and how that needs to be an important witness. And with the few minutes that we have left, what would you say to the couples out there that that are struggling, that are maybe having some challenges with their kids who are questioning their faith, maybe even have some challenges and struggles in their marriages? In the couple minutes that we have left, what advice would you to give to families in those situations, to parents that are looking and seeking some help?
Love your spouse the way they want to be loved. It's pretty straightforward, and it's something it took me 7 years to discover very quickly. The greatest thing you can do for your children is to love your spouse. If you love your spouse, they see, they feel they're in a safe environment. Now, you got to figure that out sometimes because, I remember with my wife, my love language, have you heard of the 5 love languages? If people don't know about them, learn about them. They're actually quite practical, because here's what they are very quickly. Words of affirmation, quality time, physical affection, there's gifts, and then there's acts of service. Now, my dominant love language is physical affection. And then the second one would be words of affirmation. My wife is acts of service and quality time. So what happened, she was ramping up the acts of service, it was great to see her, around the house, but she was basically showing me how she wanted to be loved. I would come home from work and I would hug her and be affectionate and then tell her how beautiful she is. And for her, it wasn't doing anything. It wasn't, she was like, thank you, we've got stuff to do, and let's make time, quality time together at an appropriate time. And so in the end, that coffee, I stumbled across, I bought her a coffee one day, we both stopped, we had quality time together, we got to talk. I discovered that she had so many things to do, you know, so I helped that night with the dishes, with the washing, and she, and I swept the floor and I cleaned the house a bit. And she was so even more attracted to me. And she said, and she started to give me more physical affection. It was so interesting. So she started to love me the way I want to be loved, and I learned to love her the way she. So that's a goal. Love your spouse the way they want to be loved.
All right. Well, great. You can follow the show today, Podcast Run, to EW10.com/radio. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.